Oh, I already got this free information by mail.
You know, 66% of Americans favor banning
the Hour of Slack.
He hates
Detroit. Will mainly be in Florida and the Four Corners region today. Unfortunately, in both areas. Seattle now in Phoenix for the high.
The biggest difficulty is knowing that it is so crazy inside and trying to make it look good on the outside, because...
That's right.
Praise the eyes of Bob that look into yours as you look into them. They are looking back and you are looking into them. You are falling into the eyes of Bob and you will never hit the bottom. On and on and on.
Friends, I want you to bang your heads against the concrete cinder blocks in joy and pain to the lilting melodies of King of Slack, Bill D. Miller.
King of all Slack!
All right, first, before I can go any further, I must cast the Circle of Slack. In the name of J.R. Bob Dobbs, Connie Dobbs, the Right Reverend Ivan Stang, and the true doctor of all doctors, Jimi Hendrix, and myself, the King of Slack, I cast the Circle of Slack!
Test Variety Theater presents... Yes, it's Test Variety Theater with First Citizen Bob, First Citizen Bob...
Why, Bob? Well, thanks, Bob, but, you're going to have to be on your toes, Bob. I want you to meet Bob.
Glad to know you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob, for a delicious lip-smacking treat. Head for a delicious lip-smacking treat. Head for your nearby...
What do you mean?
Gee, you're so romantic-like.
I went in after him, and I hid... He took a steam bath, then he had a massage, then he went into a shower. When he came out of it, I knew I had him.
Don't tell me you...
Yeah, I picked him up by the ankles, and I slapped him just like he slapped me.
Look up, up, up.
As soon as Bob gets the plumbing on his bazooka assembled, he's going to return to our Variety Theater footlights.
Well, I didn't know how to spark a girl, and I didn't know anything about sparking any kind of a girl, as a matter of fact, especially a sophisticated girl like her.
Oh.
Yeah, she'd been on more laps than a cafeteria napkin. And I'll never forget the night I proposed to this sweetheart of mine. I asked her for a hand. She said, which one? I said, don't make no difference. I won't get nothing anyhow. How come you do me like you do?
Well.
In crimson bra, build the fire for boiling pot, watch the neighbors don't get caught. Ernest Borgnine knew him well, sent Bill Shatner straight to hell. What the hey, it served him right, eyeball sockets wrinkled tight. Well, there's a big light shining in the coconut grove where Satan used to watch the Barney Miller show. A syndicated television puts him in the mood, hoping a pagoda just might get nude. Satan gets an erection, staring at a pagoda's butt. Meat and poultry by the pack, extra servings bring them back. Ain't no need to raise a fuss, just yodel your way to that flaky crust.
to stop the major bleed. Stop the major bleed.
Hey, Satan. Satan. He works better than guilt from your mind. Taste the blood on Satan's claw.
Yodeling Satan from Joe Newman, or Joe Newman's Rudy Schwartz project. Joe Newman is the greatest sung hero of Doctor Music. My friends, and you can find out everything you need to know at schwartztone.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z, schwartztone.com. The theme of this hour of Slack, which is number 1066, the theme is Bugs, Insanity, and God. Three peas in a pod, and you might actually, it's also about yetis and squid. And you might call this a Dr. Hal special, because there's a lot of that worthy, that covenant man from KPFA's Puzzling Evidence Show with Philo, and from the last X-Day Drill. Plus, we have more Bill T. Miller, the great king of Slack, Bill T. Miller, who was heard earlier casting the circle of Slack. And mixing the eyes of Bob with irreverent Friday Jones. Lee Murr, of course, did the intro and PR news and most of the short collages on the show, which you'll hear, which peel your brain from the middle out. But now, Fat Harry White from his album, Baby.
Hey there, sweet little nursey. Come into the strong yet capable hands of Dr. White.
Ow!
I'm gonna perform some delicate surgery of the heart. So, come here, my child, and lay right down on my operating table, yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, talking about medical matters, right, you know, I went to see my old mate Fat Larry in the hospital. He's having his tonsils out. Now, I had mine done about 6 months ago. I remember I was having a lot of trouble, and my very, very handsome man friend, Dr. Simon, you know, he's from Leicestershire, right, said I better let him operate. Well, I submissively laid back while he came over me. And after a few tentative probes and pokes, he whipped out me big swollen pear as soon as you could say Jack Robinson. Brought me instant relief, I can tell you. Although, of course, he did leave me a little raw, and it was quite a while before I could swallow properly. Well, anyway, I went to see Fat Lass. I took him some chocolates, and for a gag, I hid him under my ankle-length black fur coat with the single vent at the rear. Well, when I got there, Fat Lass looked at the bulge down below and, turning me round, prized open the slit at the back to get a good look at the old big box. Well, he greedily grabbed it and was just about to get stuck in when I remembered, "Oi, Lass, nil by mouth, our kid." Oh, well, he was right, act off. Said he was fed up, not getting what he wanted. Said that very morning, the hospital cook had presented him with his lovely spotted dick, and he hadn't been able to take that either. Oh, blimey. Well, I felt sorry for him, but I fancied the chocolates myself, and fair play to Larry, he helped me push them all in my mouth. And what a sight the very, very sexy ward sister friend found when she came in, saw Fat Lass stuffing me between the cheeks, you know. Well, I left him soon after, feeling very sorry for himself. But I know it won't be too long before he'll be able to gobble away to his heart's content. But, you know, I mean, you should look after yourself, shouldn't you? Which is why me and my very, very sexy lady friend, Foxy Fiona, went to a health farm just the other week. Well, we got there, we got to our bedroom with our luggage. I was just about to unload my big bag in the corner when first sexy lady friend, Foxy Fiona, asked me if I'd be, you know, rising early. Well, when I told her I wanted to be up at 6, her jaw dropped. She said it might be a bit too hard for her, you know, getting up so early. Still, she soon got used to it and particularly enjoyed an early dip in the pool just before breakfast. I'd recommend it too. You know, a quick length first thing in the morning always puts a spring in your step. Well, when it came to breakfast time, we were at it like rabbits, you know, scoffing away at all the lettuce and carrot salad. I also enjoyed the celery that was available, but when I offered some to Foxy Fiona, she refused. She said she didn't really fancy gobbling on a full stalk just then, but if I, you know, gave it to her later in the sauna, she might have a nibble. Well, as we were on a strict vegan diet, we weren't allowed to eat any dairy produce, which personally I found very difficult indeed. And I've got to confess, I did try to smuggle some butter in, but unfortunately, would you Adam and believe it, I got caught. I mean, I only had a small knob and was really surprised when the health farm manager walked into my bedroom, grabbed hold of it and tossed it out of the window. Still, apart from that, we had an enjoyable time. It's anecdotal, really, but look after your health, and then you'll be in the mood for loving. Come over to the good doctor, Dr. White, the doctor of...
Fat Harry White, and you can get more Fat Harry White from, got that pencil ready, myspace.com/Fat Harry White. But now for some puzzling evidence. And by the way, you can get every show of puzzling evidence just about if you go in by way of quiveringbrain.com. Once again, that's quiveringbrain.com.
We have only a certain amount of time to devote to every segment.
Yes, we need to move on to the next segment.
Thank you. That'll be all.
Wash our way through the slush.
Somebody throw him a fish. Wow.
And I'm glad I wore my waders.
Did we have a waiter segment planned?
Did you know dust is expensive? Did you know that, Reverend Howe?
Dust.
Reverend Doctor Howe, Mister.
And under
Mr.
dust,
Mister. Reverend Doctor Howe. And did you know when you allow this dust to circulate freely in your shop, it will ruin expensive tools.
And worse than that, little chiggery booger bugs will come crawling out.
They'll come out and they will crawl up into your little booger bugs.
They will crawl in there and they'll crawl in there and crawl in there and crawl in there.
A name to remember when you think of...
We've got 35,000 listeners.
Yes, once one mentioned once those bugs.
Once we Durabonded and
listening
we cut these
rapidly.
Listeners... together,
let
much
me,
like...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Here, I have a model somewhere of one of these bugs. Here it is. Now, you'll notice
look,
on
it
page 27,
on
it. Encyclopedia Entomologica, this creature is described as a towering menace, mankind's greatest foe, the humble, simple... You're
getting out of here.
To provide a single, yes, we need to resource that.
Are you here?
Yeah, we're here.
Right over here.
Come on in. Okay. We're doing show. Now, we need to read.
Honey, have you seen my bug collection?
I think she undercut your bug collection.
Matches and lighters are children's toys. They are made for girls and boys.
More than 90,000 children curious about fire play. Teach your children that matches and lighters are toys.
Fire, fire.
Circled by the sun, creation science polka. Science classes in our schools taught by superstitious fools. Jerry Falwell sets the rules. Creation science polka.
The universe was fabricated in 6 literal days.
makes us cringe. We're the right-wing lunatic fringe. Jesus died for our sins. Creation science polka.
Project did the Creation Science Polka, available, I guess, from something like schwartztone.com. And now, some live Hour of Slack recorded outdoors right in front of everybody. Well, everybody cool anyway. And in front of all the passing tractors at Brushwood Folklore Center during the 9X Day Drill.
Well, is it working now? Well, we had some kind of technical problem. The solution might have been as easy as blowing a puff of air into the old ding-futzer. I don't want to bore you with a lot of technical terms, but some kind of what's-it got caught in the whatchamacallit. And so we had to make that contraptoid work the way it was supposed to, because that ding-buster had frozen right up, and it didn't record our words and our voices. And now, a loud tractor drowns out even our words at the moment. The plowman homeward plods his weary way and leaves the world to darkness and to me. Now fades the glimmering landscape on the height, while all the air a solemn stillness holds, save where the beetle wheels his droning flight and drowsy tinklings lull the distant folds. Save that from yonder ivy-mantled tower the moping owl does to the moon complain of such as, wandering near her secret bower, molest her ancient solitary reign.
That was better than that Benji the Yeti routine that we tried. We missed recording.
Benji the Yeti had fur from head to toe. And the children say when they saw him that day that he stank like a buffalo.
Well, sure, to us he may smell offensive, different.
Our poorly evolved sensorium is not able to deal with the many complicated organic molecules which are part of a Yeti's signaling array.
That and the shiny rainbow rump that we mentioned.
Well, you know, the Yetis, I'm told, use artifice in addition to their natural secretions, and I don't know if this is blasphemy to say, but I've heard that by cultivating the use of special herbs and objects that are found in their vicinity, they can create important oils, oleae, and essences, which do not suppress, but rather augment their natural effusions. They do not use deodorant, they use odorant, and they use it far more wisely than humans can ever understand. And we have the temerity to say that they stink like a whorehouse laundry. What do we know?
But there are, I understand that the Sherpas in Tibet, when they can, try to scrape the oils from the Yeti.
Even from the leaves where the Yeti has passed, they add this scraping to their nanunyak, or preparation, as they call it.
Now, as I understand it, that's a kind of beer made from saliva chewed, as old women chew betel nuts or something like that.
It is fermented. It is a watery, yellowish-brown liquid with, according to the early German explorer von Königswald, an offensive smell. But, once again, this is a subjective opinion.
Right, and who cares if it gets you high?
Well, von Königswald was too credulous about some of the things he heard and refused to believe other things, which now we know to be true. But he was important in deducing the primary diet of the Yeti from an examination of its teeth and molars.
I thought one of the most amazing things that the Yeti did was I don't know if it was... I assume it was the American Sasquatch Yetis, who somehow managed to get that fellow in Oregon to go around making fake Yeti tracks.
And Yeti films.
Right, Yeti films, just so that years later when he died, it could all be revealed as a hoax, and at that point people quit searching for Yetis.
Well, they live in the wilds, and they take the long view. They are not accustomed to immediate gratification and immediate reaction. And it pays off, evolutionarily speaking. It protects the Yeti gene pool. However, it has been said that the snaky hypnotic power of the Eastern Yeti is not really the specialty of the North American New World Yeti or Sasquatch. But, you know, at one time there was a Siberian land bridge, and at that time both types of Gigantopithecus communed over that strip of land, which is now an archipelago and a dividing ocean, even.
And, of course, there's always been people who, especially ladies, who found Yetis irresistible.
Yes.
We go out and lure the Yetis into... cohabiting with them briefly. Of course, the husbands always claim that the Yeti had raped the woman.
Yes, in the book of Genesis, we see how the seed of Adam was multiplied when the women lay with the sons of the stars, of the morning star, thought, said in the punitive Christian tradition to be demons. These are, of course, the forest men, forest people, or Yetis, the other people. Stanislaw Zukalski has...
Zukalski
was great
Saint.
In his understanding of the Yeti and its relationship to the humans, but, of course, we in the Church of the Subgenius believe that the Yeti was more welcome than an intruder or an invader, and that Yetinsen influence, or blood, and the old way of saying, is something benign and praiseworthy.
Yeah, it's
in one's
a shame.
Inheritance.
Zukalski thought the Yetis were the were the source of criminality and dictators.
Responsible for war, intolerance. All the human failings.
It's so sad to see a self-hating Yetinsen. You know,
but,
especially a guy who's so obviously only two or three generations away from pure full-blood Yeti.
But the generations do mark the truth of the change.
Well, I was called a kook by Zukalski. Did you know that?
Because
you
I
tried to
dared to articulate your advanced theory about Gigantopithecus. That we were better off acknowledging that portion of our bloodline.
No,
and
I,
that they were the sinned against, not the sinners.
You've always said that Gigantopithecus should be called Gigantanthropus.
Gigantanthropus.
Since it's more manlike.
That was the... that was what Dr. Carl Wiedenrich said in his books, Apes, Giant, and Men, Giants and Men, because it is true, this is a principle of anthropology and biology. You judge what something is by its teeth, most of all, and the teeth of Gigantopithecus have humanoid qualities rather than simian qualities.
Girls, you know what big teeth means.
Well, this creature had the advantage of immense size.
Big braces.
It was huge.
So huge. So vast that their footprints were mistaken for lakes.
Yes, it was said of the Anakim, the sons of Anak in the Bible, that they were so vast that we, the Israelite scouts, were as grasshoppers in their sight.
There were giants in the earth in those days.
Amen, brother. And one could draw out Leviathan with a hook if one had patience.
But if one had a really cute miniskirt, that was another way to draw out Leviathan, so to speak.
And the unicorn from his bosky dell. Yes, the world could be at peace, and centaur, triton, fawn, and flapping phoenix shared the golden woods of the Hesperides.
With
look at those geese over there.
Jolly
birds
cyclopses.
Of peace. Battening upon the wines of autumn, while merry Silenus brayed his laughter, surrounded by the nubile nymphs of grove and stream.
Ah, those were the good old days, Dr. Howell, before the conspiracy came along and screwed everything up.
Before these sylvan scenes were covered with parking lots and decaying industrial installations, business parks of cracked concrete and toxic dumps of plastic garbage cans.
There were Yeti droppings instead of plastic bags and aluminum cans.
And the discarded stems of the grapes consumed by Silenus and the nymphs and naiads.
What about those nymphs? I want to hear more about
these nymphs.
Well,
they followed in the train of Bacchus, but what one always sees is Silenus. Bacchus was a beautiful youth with vine leaves in his hair, right? Like Caravaggio painted. But Silenus was the fat old drunk guy with a red nose who was the head of the satyrs and who was always followed by the beautiful Bacchantes, women mysterious, lovely, and wild, and also quite dangerous when they were in the wrong mood, as many found out.
Oh, the lucky people get to follow Bacchus. I had to follow Sterculus.
But remember what happened to Orpheus, torn to pieces by the Bacchantes, and some even say devoured. These lovely girls devoured the rich red strips of his flesh, and his blood was as red as their lips and nipples as they consumed him in an orgy of pleasure.
And I think these rock and roll shows are so shocking and scandalous and exciting these days.
Yes, they have no understanding because they have allowed their tools to become preeminent. If a tool is an extension of the hand, still one must remember where the hand clutches the handle of the tool repeatedly.
Try this pump. This is the Flowmaster pump. It's a transfer meter proportioning pump.
I knocked on the door of the old woodcutter's shed.
That's enough. And to maintain its volumetric efficiency against normal
wear.
The features stressed by
then
the
then I came to a tropical paradise under swaying palm trees where machine guns went off every hour on the hour as aged buses pulled into terminals.
Save time when you read neat thread gauges.
And it all took me in the whirl of time into incalculable gulfs of
have you ever thought about what the translation of Boo-Boo Barabajagal really was?
Yes, alienage and cosmic fright. For it whirled me back to the hidden valley of Hadoth by the Nile. Well,
yes, I was there with you that time when we were by the Nile.
Some vacation, huh?
Yeah, it was really... I couldn't stand the bugs. There was just too many flies and mosquitoes.
The flies, yes, they call it black rain there.
They would crawl up into your nether regions and buzz about all free and aware of their own surroundings. But now, you know, the birds there are monogamous.
Birds are monogamous. Men are polygamous.
That's about right. I often recite that poem myself when in the shower, conducting role reversal with my entourage.
Yes, the ancient Egyptians. In life, they lived in rooms of mud brick. In death, they built to last forever. Nothing less than the world's largest building would do for the god king Khufu. But why was it built? How? And by whom? What feats of organization, which no one else could rival, were used in erecting the gigantic monument?
I know the answer to that.
Hidden entrances, secret passages, and peepholes.
I know the answer.
You'd know the answer? Well, lay it on us, then.
Space aliens.
God damn. That's absolutely...
Space aliens did it.
They didn't build Grand Central Station either.
They brought the plans with them, and they just gave them to the humans because they said, these humans are too dumb to think of this stuff on their own. There's no way they can do it. We're going to have to give them. So all of those bursts of technology were only because space aliens came and gave us what we needed.
There were no space aliens, at least not the kind you mean.
We're just victims or beneficiaries.
Because I was there. Yes, in an earlier life. And I remember when the foreman of the tomb workers had a mysterious accident. You will see it represented today that these pyramids were built by slaves, but it wasn't so. Everyone was well paid.
Paid in beer.
Ain't got no teeth, but I need something to chew. So guess what I did do? I had some Jell-O, I had some gum, some soup and pudding too. But I'm just someone who likes to eat Jell-O. I ate so much, my belly started to hurt. I threw up on my shirt, and it was all Jell-O. I love to pierce the chewy skin on top. It's fun to poke it and to make it pop. Do you know? You know I love it so. I love my Jell-O so. I went to see the dead Kennedys. The singer happened to be named Jell-O. Went to see the women's wrestling, and they were wrestling in Jell-O. Later that night, the waiter said to me, maybe you'd like to try some raspberry. I said, no thanks, I'll have the strawberry. but he just looked at me. To sleep, my stomach full of goo, and then I woke up to more jello. I have it for my lunch and dinner too. Oh, nothing else will do.
Narco did that, and there's so much more of Reverend Phineas Narco at nationalcynical.com, because he does National Cynical Radio. And now, a Nowrel Pref presentation.
Welcome to Mass. This is Robin. Tony, 20 years of my life, I've been obsessed with Tony Robbins. Got my own life. Like, what do I do? Failed to achieve? Felt bad. Totally absurd. Abused physically and sexually. Several times. It's what you and I do. There's the outside world, but then there's the inside world. Can you make this better? Animal. People have shared with me things, and that's what this is really all about. So I invite you right now. Eat that yourself. Can't even believe it. What do I mean? Doing something stupid. You are stupid. We all feel stupid. I'm stupid. You're a fat person using drugs or something. Take the drugs. Why? I can show you how to get off. Use drugs. You're a drug addict. Hard stuff. Think about it. I would murder. Why wouldn't you do it? It makes no sense. I mean, think about it. Jerk. Danger. Terrible. Well, I'm a stupid person. How come? Here, have a cigarette. What do I mean? Democracy was terrible and communism was great. Yeah. Who are you? Are you merely a collection of habit patterns? What the heck is he talking about here? Who are you? I am what I am. Who are you really? What are you, crazy? Come on here. I'm beautiful. I'm ugly. I'm old. Most of us are not conscious. Who am I? Who do you really want to be? Think about it. I'm curious. Feel. I'm out of it. Feelings of being loaded. Garbage. It's back there. It's deep. It's dark. It'll get you. How stupid. Get excited. Am I really inadequate? You'll immediately feel much more intensity if you say I'm loaded. I think the message is really simple. You can feel really bad. You can feel disappointed. You can feel frustrated. You can feel angry. You can feel hurt. You can feel sad. And remember, nothing in life has any meaning.
Well, did you ever really like pity the entomologist for feeling irrelevant?
Well, they usually feel bugs, not elephants, but
The vast majority of insect species have no impact on the GNP or the price of bread.
That's a misconception, because these insects profoundly affect.
They do not cure cancer, they do not taste good, and many people think they don't even look good.
But maybe they think that you taste good, and maybe they think that you don't look good to them.
Well, I don't see them writing books and talking on the radio right now.
To them, you're the monster. And you can't receive their radio.
I don't see them out there.
And you can't read their books.
Saving lives and fighting wars.
They don't save your
corrupting
life.
The youth.
They save the lives of fellow termites and like that.
Oh, so you mean they're just basically species biased, huh?
They are on their own wavelength.
They just discriminate against us because of our species. Can you imagine that? As if. Typically, this type of accounting
There's
is
no
demanded.
There's no point in being so multi-culti. All species are, in one sense, at war, in competition for the winning niche, which ensures survival of the germplasm into the coming generations. Without this, there is no possible continuity of life. And life itself, in its insensate yearning, wishes for this and this only to transpire. Life in life's effluence.
Oh, yes.
Cloud at once and shower.
Here we are on the affluent peninsula, living life large as we can, given the size of our mighty dollars. Here and there, over there, we can see the vendors that will take our dollars so freely. Oh, and drop them in the water once again.
At a trial in 1150 B.C., a robber confessed under torture to violating the tomb of Ramses II. And then he compounded his crime by robbing the tombs of Ramses' twin sons. But we will never know some of the secrets that
did
keep
he take the corpse?
Nearby. The reanimated mummy of the legends of the tomb. the incision through which the internal organs were removed, the scarab that protects the heart, witness to all you did in life, the instrument used to pour liquid resin through the nose into the brain, the linen used to wrap the mummy, all 400 yards of it, and the 70 days
400
of
yards,
ritual
can you imagine?
Black
That's
magic
four times the length of a football
field. A soul to return to its body.
We like to use those football fields as measurements, if
then,
possible.
With the infusion
we go.
Of the sacred tanna leaves
wow,
passing
yards.
Its withered lips.
It's a long ways. How
the
far is that?
Mummy regains.
Why is that?
And shambles to its feet.
12 million feet. Or
off
12
to do the
billion inches
of the master
or
of the
12
temple
quadrillion nanometers. And yet there's two very good reasons for using a peerless standard.
The mummy, it's coming. It's coming, I tell you. It's coming.
Why is it doing that?
Well,
it's abusing itself.
It wants to get the scroll of Thoth back, and we have it. That's one problem.
It's unwinding itself.
Now, when he was alive, Imhotep would shower every morning and brush his teeth with salt. He would moisturize daily with hippopotamus fat, drink beer through a straw, write letters to the dead, and at the age of 20, began preparing a tomb for the perfect afterlife.
These are the kind of activities that we find young some geniuses engaged in today. Writing letters to the dead, trying to save their dead relatives. Much like our friends.
Imhotep was elevated to the priesthood after a successful military career in which he fought Nubians, Libyans, Syrians, and sea peoples. He raised pyramids and crops, dug ditches, and paid taxes.
But does he dig duchess? That's the important thing.
Eventually, he actually achieved pharaonic equivalency.
A cytospasm?
His doom fell and his song waned. By iron hewn and by steel chained. Greed that sang not, nor with mouth smiled. And he was shut living in the tomb, with his tongue removed, and all that stuff.
But and yet, inbreeding depression follows inevitably from the mechanics of our genetics.
Depressing? You think it wouldn't be depressing?
Organisms such as ourselves are diploid, meaning we contain two sets of chromosomes.
For every malady, there was a doctor in ancient Egypt. Stomach doctors, foot doctors, ear doctors,
foot doctors.
Eye doctors. 82 specialists in all.
Did they have gland doctors?
The one who removes the evil third eye. Teeth are filled.
Did they have third nostril doctors?
Brain tumors.
To pick the third nostrils?
Lion's fat is a guaranteed remedy for thinning hair. And the most expensive.
Some people might think that maybe in the third nostril there could be some type of incrustation.
As there were many in ancient Egypt, from Megiddo to Kadesh.
Just like on the third eye, you could get a little of that sleepy kind of sleep stuff you get in the corner of your eye
just
in the morning when
the
you wake up. You get some of that in your third eye, and you try to rub your third eye with your finger to get it out, and next thing you know, you push an eyelash into your third eye, and you're rubbing back and forth on your third eye. Pretty soon it's just completely bloodshot. What are you going to do when you're out in public like that? And people see it and they say, that's just some weird permutation of your pineal gland.
But Dr. Howell and Dr. Philo Drummond and puzzling evidence there from KPFA in Berkeley. But Kenneth New, playing a Bach prelude as found on www.kenneth.new.
You want to hear some great music?
I just wanted to make money and have fun.
Hello, doctor. How are you?
The doctor is on.
You could have a rewarding career as a sub-genius doctor. That's right. Surgeons for Connie. Perform healing orgy revival surgery. Sicken the masses. Bombard the patient with subgenius anti-music noise. Surgeons for Connie. Standing by. Ready to operate. Scalpel. Golf club. Pipe. Light the pipe full of froth and insert the golf club into the third nostril of the patient. And the deprogramming will begin.
Stop it! Stop it! Please! I beg you!
You will no longer believe in Connie's little puppet, J.R. Bob Dobbs. You will now realize the truth that Connie is the one true Slack Master.
Praise Connie! Praise Connie! Praise Connie! Praise Connie!
Don't worry. The spurting, bleeding head side effects are part of the treatment. Now, whenever you hear the name Bob, you will automatically substitute the name Connie.
They set me on a cold metal table and prodded me with humiliating probes.
Now, don't you feel better?
The King of Slack, Bill T. Miller, and Slack Bangers from BillTMiller.com or KingOfSlack.com. I believe you can download his Life Works there. Truly, friends, one of Bob's biggest tools. Well, we're all tools. First, the Exist used the Yetis as tools. The Yetis,
the puppet masters,
humans to
from
tools
millions of miles away.
And now,
through the inky darkness of interstellar space,
Bob,
they stretch forth
us
their tentacles, reaching up from below to seize the basis of the subgenius unconscious mind.
Tickles when that happens.
Ever been troubled by giant octopuses or mile-long squids reaching up from below, even in your dreams? This cephalopod, this round head at the nexus of many writhing arms, is a profound symbol of the secret self, standing for the unconscious mind. And it is no error or idle chance that the squid has such a prominent feature in the lives of subgeniuses and in their fellow travelers.
Well, not
like the
not
laughing
only are
squid
they,
people.
Right, the praise laughing squid. The squid is not only sexy, but very intelligent.
Well, yes, and even horrible conspiracy propaganda like Hanna-Barbera's Squiddly Diddly cartoons put forth this view.
I don't think I remember.
Oh, it's horrible.
Diddly.
Well, I can describe it for you in a very few sentences. He's a squid. He lives at an aquarium. He wears a sailor's hat. His body is more like that of an octopus. He has only six tentacles, and he's got a smart mouth personality, while Mr. Twiddles, the aquarium owner, who's only about two heads high and has a mustache, is eternally frustrated by Squiddly and his antics.
Squiddly!
I mean, you're familiar with that sort of thing.
Yogi Squid.
Well, more like Lippy the Lion or Wally Gator or some late-coming Hanna-Barbera loud-mouthed asshole. But that is the conspiracy version of the noble squid. That hydrostatic organism which has managed by evolutionary manipulation to have no weight in its chosen medium to hover for millennia on end.
This is say. True slack. The weightlessness deep beneath the
there is
heavy
also
ocean.
The Kraken. That giant beast. And by the way, you know that they've got that in the new Johnny Depp pirate movie, right?
Oh, they got Kraken? They finally got Kraken?
They brought the Kraken into it. And they're constantly having to battle this outsized cephalopod in the film. Yes. One must be in awe at the Kraken or that type of Leviathan. Yeah. The largest thing to swim the ocean stream. Below the thunder of the upper deep, far, far beneath in the abysmal sea, his ancient, uninvaded sleep, the Kraken sleepeth. Faintest sunlights flee about his shadowy sides. Above him swell huge sponges of millennial growth and height, while far above, into the sickly light, from many a wondrous grot and secret cell, unnumbered and enormous polypi winnow with giant arms the slumbering green. There hath he lain for ages, and will lie, battening upon huge sea worms in his sleep, until the latter fire shall heat the deep. Then, once by men and angels to be seen, in roaring he shall rise, and on the surface die.
Special animation effects by Ray Harryhausen.
That's right. Well, you know, there's a very interesting picture.
And his brother, Joe Bob Hausen.
In that book, An Animated Life by Harryhausen, the first of two large volumes that are now available, there's a picture of Charlotte Knight, the woman who wrote some of his fairy tales. And he took his octopus model from It Came Beneath the Sea and threw it, and it stuck to her cleavage, astonishingly like something that happened to Susie the Floozy. Here, that same Ray Harryhausen octopus pressed to the chest of Charlotte Knight is a photograph in that book, Ray Harryhausen, An Animated Life. And so, millions of years ago, giant dinosaurs roamed the earth, while volcanoes belched forth their stercorous pollution into the steamy atmosphere of the Mesozoic. High above, giant pterodactyls on membranous wings curled skirling over the smoking jungle below, emitting high cries like the screeching of phantoms and banshees to Christian the Mesozoic world with their barbaric yawp.
As heard in the background.
Time, space, travel, forward and backward in time. Little natural time, time, time.
What is real? Was the king of dreams.
Bible say love buried.
Railroad, 1892.
I can't get you sleep.
High, low, high, low.
I love the United States.
Black Betty
Rose. The final call from heaven's door will soon be
confirming and lifting the breast.
Remember
These great pornographic records can now be yours.
Project and Schwartztone.com. Before that, Time and Space Travel Can Be Yours by the good Reverend Maynard Brainerd. This is the Hour of Slack from the Church of the Subgenius you're listening to. And if you need more information, just look to subgenius.com or write to Post Office Box 181-417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118. And we'll let Norlin Lemur take us nighty-night.
I'll tell you what that means in just a little bit. Fill our mouth with fun, 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 fun. Why I am a fun, 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 fun man. And I think about that and I sit down and thought about this. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Sick. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm a fun, 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 fun. Now, what does it mean to be fun, 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 fun? Hold on. I'm a fun, 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 fun. I am fun, 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 fun. And friend, I'm going to tell you what. I was fun, 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 fun. Listen. I was fun, 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 fun. Going to shake, going to shake. But friend, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, crazy. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you right now. Word, 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 word. That's what I'm talking about. Hello. Listen, problem, problem. Well, hello.
Who, what, where?
Oh, I told you. It's Rob. He was killed once.
Jeepers.
That answers the who part. Now, how about what and where?
Stolen Rob. That's the what.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Now, that was real smart.
Cake, spur, fake, spur, spur, spur.
It's cake wise.
Cake.
Satan only happens if your taters all shit.